Hey, this is Adrian.
And this is Ethan.
And this is Whiskey and Wires, brought to you by Intuitive Networks, where we talk all things tech.
And all things whiskey.
What's up, everybody? It's Tyler. We are back with Whiskey and Wires, and excited to talk to you guys a little bit more about IT things, because that's what we do. You know, I was going to go a big old monologue, but I probably shouldn't. I actually get more excited. I don't know if I get more excited about talking about the tech stuff or actually the whiskey.
Hey, you do you. You want a monologue? Makes it easier for us, right?
Make it easier to jump right into it. How you guys doing?
Not too bad.
Yeah.
It's raining outside over here in the Sacramento area.
Mm.
I love it. This is my weather of preference, honestly. It's
your perfect weather. I know.
Yeah.
We went from zero to freaking cold or 100 to, you know, rain in a heartbeat. It's nasty up in the mountains too.
Yeah.
Absolutely freaking crazy. But I mean, we need it, right?
Yeah.
You have to have the water. You have to have the water to make the whiskey.
We need all the water so we can funnel it over to Vegas and
and sell it. Right. I know, you can see how we're thinking. How'd you guys' holidays?
Not too bad, you know.
Yeah.
Had to eat dinner twice.
Oh shit.
Oh, poor thing.
I know, it was horrible.
Barely had room for all the pie, huh?
Towards the end of it, I had the meat sweats.
Yeah. Dude, no joke, there was one, I don't remember where I was at because we did the same thing traveling, and one of them I just had to get up and walk. It was like, where'd he go? And I just had to get up and walk because if I would have stayed, it just hurt. Yeah. Like straight up hurt. It was terrible. I don't know why we do that to ourselves.
Have that moment of undoing the belt buckle and just immediate relief.
But I was saying, like, all for one dinner. I understand why we do it. I understand why we get it. Actually, well, that's not the show for that. I'm not going to go into American history. But anyways, all that work and stress just for one dinner to go and gorge yourself. I mean, shoot, I can do that on a friggin' Friday.
We could, but then you'd be looked at under a critical eye by your peers.
This
on Thanksgiving, it's okay.
This is true. Cannot do that. Yeah. All right, so we are going to be chatting over. So as we get into, you know, just is December 1 right now, the time of this recording, and it's kind of like, you know, time when everybody wraps up the season, the year. And so what we're going to do is talk over Adrian and Ethan's top two favorite tool that they use or have used this year for clients.
Correct.
And it could be correct. That's a great idea.
You know, I'm dying of tiredness over here. I'm going to...
Why is that, Dad?
Yeah, right? But I'm just trying to put out as much enthusiasm as possible. So I'm gonna jump in the middle, just affirmation after affirmation for you.
Power through it. All right, what do we have for a whiskey? Because I don't know that I've had this one before.
You've never had this before?
Mm-mm.
Yes. Neither have I.
All right,
really?
I was hoping that. So this is a Nikko whiskey from the barrel. It's Japanese whiskey.
Ah.
Barrel strength, which is still not even that high.
But well, pretty...
different climate, you know.
Sure.
It's like 51.4% alcohol by volume.
That's so, a good one.
So 100, just shy of 103 proof.
A what? 103?
Yeah, that's barrel strength.
Oh, you're going to bed. You know what? Everybody, he's going to fall asleep on the show. On the actual, we're going to see him nodding off. He's like, my favorite two things are pacifiers.
If you hear a little, that's my head hitting the mic.
The things we do. Okay, so question for you. Is this Japanese whiskey, meaning it's made in the style, or is this actually from Japan?
It has to be from Japan, yeah. Like they have laws too, and I'm not the most versed in Japanese whiskey laws, but I know it needs to be malted cereal grain.
So it actually has to?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it needs to use water from Japan, and it needs to be aged and distilled in Japan too.
Wait, but it's made in St. Louis. Just kidding. Imported. Distributed out of San Francisco. Okay, that would make sense. So no joke, this is actually made in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, some people kind of has like a scotchy vibe to it, like in terms of profile. So it's a little smoky.
Nikko whiskey from the barrel. That's what they call it. It's not Nikko whiskey and then like the brand. It's like, that's the whole brand.
Well, no, it's Nikko distillery.
Okay, Nikko
so
whiskey.
So this is just like from the barrel line.
It's a little
harder to find, but they have like a, I think like coffee malt and coffee grain whiskey.
Mm.
And not coffee in terms of like coffee, like drinking, but it's a type of still.
Oh, a coffee still. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
So I've had Santori Toki. before.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a Japanese whiskey. Is it similar?
Well, we'll find out.
Okay.
It's been a long time since I had that one, so honestly, yeah, I don't even know.
Well, I feel like that's kind of the common Japanese whiskey. They sell it at Costco and things like that. Yeah. So when I saw this, I was like, oh, I wonder if that's similar.
If it's at Costco, it's going to be the common version. It's not going to be any, you know, behind the shelf. Like, it's in mass production.
It's where we get our 1 liters of Woodford. Yeah.
So this one, I believe, is made at the Yoichi Distillery.
Wait, say that slower.
Yoichi.
Louder.
Deeper.
Deeper. Harder. Yoichi. All right, cheers.
Cheers.
Happy holidays, y'all. Oh, yeah. There we go. Try it. Ooh. Had you have not said it's more on the Scotch side,
yeah,
you would I'd have been like, this is Scotch. This is Scotch. This is straight up Scotch. That's not your favorite, yeah.
Nah, listeners,
his nose is curling like a pit bull, a pissed off pit bull right now.
There was that one episode. What was, was it the Beaumont? 18?
Yeah, with that one Scotch episode, the super peaty one, and I was like, I'm not a fan of peat, and you're like, I'm about to ruin this whole man's day.
Yeah. You're like, you're not going to like this. You probably want to throw up now.
This isn't super strong peaty like that one was, but the flavor's there.
like the back of the throat, the after flavor? Yeah,
and when you breathe out, it's like peat.
Yep.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, that's also going to linger, like, all day.
Oh, that's great. Awesome. No, what's going to happen is we're going to get back to the office. We are recording in a different location today.
It will even survive brushing your teeth.
No. I'm going to go back to the office, and I'm going to sneak over to that 1 liter of Woodford and wash the flavor out of my mouth.
You're like, Ed, can I borrow some?
Yeah.
And he will agree as long as I pour him an extra large glass as well.
Oh, man. Okay, who wants to start first? Let's get into this.
I'll go first.
There you go. Top two. Number one.
Oh, man. You know, all right, I'm gonna go a little different here. I'm going to go with Accent E-Folder.
Huh. Accent?
Yeah, Accent.
Okay. All right. Ooh, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
It's like Dropbox, but like way more secure.
How is that possible?
Just their encryptions and just their methodology of sharing or like accessing information.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And they're made specifically for MSPs and that kind of thing?
Yeah. It's all partner. It's partner-based, but it's pretty cool, though. And it is a learning curve. I will admit, it's not as intuitive to use as Dropbox, but once it's not much different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But people kind of like, you know, Apple, right? You kind of just know how to use it because you've been using Apple your whole life.
Right.
But like, same thing with Dropbox. If you're using some type of like file sharing or like, some type of like sharing platform on and using the cloud.
Yeah,
it's gonna look like Dropbox.
Oh, so it does. It's got that same functionality.
But it's gonna look like it, but it's gonna be just different enough where that's kind of the feedback we got with our clients. It just takes a little bit.
So, do you use them as the MSP and how you share your stuff to them, or do you install it and that's what they use?
It's part of our package. So when you're an MSP, we. Same with all our other tools, you know, antivirus, anti-malware, you know, ransomware.
Anti-everything.
Yeah, anti-everything. It's just part of the suite.
Okay.
Because we're trying to promote, like, you really should secure your files.
Yeah. It's kind of a big thing, right? I'd imagine.
Yeah. And it's also really cool because if you make a mistake, we like the rollback feature. It's kind of like one of the big benefits to businesses.
How does that work?
Like, if you really mess up an Excel sheet or some type of important piece of information and there was no way to really go back in the system itself or in the program, you could just go access your Dropbox and just roll it back from, like, an hour ago. And you could have access to that.
So, like, a Command-Z or something like that?
Yeah, you could set it up to where you would have literally hundreds of variations of that file for every single change.
Yeah, it's more along the lines of, like, a dynamic backup.
Huh.
Where instead of you have a backup from 12 o'clock 2 years ago, 8 o'clock last year, and then 6 months ago, you have a rollback feature where you can go back to what that file was at 2 o'clock on last Tuesday, or 2:30 last Tuesday, or 2:31. It's just...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I guess that is kind of like a... Well, I don't know if the Dropbox has that. We stop using Dropbox. I mean, we do Google Docs, and I know that's probably like, not secure.
I mean, with all these things, it depends on your compliance level. If you're not, you know, shooting through HIPAA information or, you know, client sensitive information, you can do whatever you want to as long as it works for your company.
But if you're a accountant, bookkeeper, or whatever, dentist, office, chiropractor, you're storing all those files, that you're saying this is going to be way more secure.
Right. Compliance is very important. That being said, and something strong to note, is that Dropbox can be fine. You can set up your Dropbox, especially a smaller organization, like 30 people or less.
Mm-hmm.
You can set it up to be very secure. But Axiom does come with those just innate, stronger securities.
Mm.
And especially as you grow your business, it just has that future-proofing.
Huh. How'd you guys find it?
We've been partners with them since they were originally... eFolder was the company.
Mm. I've heard of that.
Yeah, so that was about 11 years ago, 12 years ago. We've been partners with them. And then
they get bought by them?
They got bought by Axiom, and I think I don't know if they got purchased one more time on top of that, but I think it's still called Axiom.
Oh, but it's still awesome, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna power through. I got myself this drink poured. I'm gonna drink it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna grimace at both of you.
You're gonna love it.
I'm gonna find a way to like it.
Do you want to sneak some rum into Whiskey and Wires? I take that over. I mean, I would.
Right. Well, we were talking about, you know, we've had different mixed drinks. We had the old fashions, which were still whiskey based.
Oh yes, it was.
I've always joked around about doing like, I know these inconsiderate people living their lives and making noises in our background. but we've talked about having like maybe an April Fool's episode or something like that, where we just go off the rails with like sangria or something.
Oh my gosh. That would be super rad. Like, margaritas.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, like, so I really enjoy making drinks. But funny enough, my wheelhouse of cocktail making are tiki drinks.
There you go.
What?
Yeah. I make some... Dude, one of these days, I'll have to make some Mai Tais.
Hell yeah, brother.
And that... Then you can be... You know, you can judge it yourself. But...
What is a Mai Tai?
Ooh, well... It's not the Mai Tai you would think like a Hilton or like a Marriott or something, where it's like pineapple juice, orange juice, grenadine, and like coconut rum. That's a bastardized version of a Mai Tai. So I mine's kind of a rip off of Trader Vic's Mai Tai. So
sugar,
rum, a little bit of orgeat, barely any sugars. Maybe I put maybe sometimes a quarter of an ounce.
Yeah,
simple syrup, and lime juice. And
I'm trying to hold that cough in.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's a great whiskey.
It is. It just scratched the back of the throat there. I'm trying not to. Did you just pound that?
No, I didn't pound it. I took about half of what was left. And you say it hit the back of the throat. It hit my gag reflex. That's what that hit.
You almost lost your shit.
So many ways it could go.
Yeah.
I love whiskey. I love mixed drinks. It has been an absolute pleasure both doing this podcast with you guys and just experiencing new drinks just around with Adrian and Ed. But god damn, I can't get
get
my palate around this, you know what? Scotch stuff.
Once you get past the smoke.
Once you get,
which I like that.
Are you getting like a little bit of dry coconut?
No, but I can see where you're going with it.
See, the smokiness is something that I don't have an issue with. But it was, I think it might have even been you, the first time that I tried scotch. You equated it, and forgive me, audience, you equated it to cat piss.
I have never drank cat piss, but if I did, or if it tastes like you're saying, I probably would have some.
You know, I don't even remember saying that, so I was probably just... messing around.
Like, maybe, but that
you can totally,
it's been in my mind.
Yeah.
Because the smoke I don't have an issue with, but there's that undertaste that so just...
Ugh. Do you like High West, the Campfire?
Love that whiskey.
I mean, but you gotta, that's an acquired taste. You have to A, like
is it
the peat, and B,
whiskey,
yeah, the smoky.
I have not tried it.
Yep.
I will.
It's good.
I'll put it on the list of things to avoid until an episode.
Yep.
I do a like a smoked Manhattan with the High West Campfire.
Ooh.
It's really good.
I want to try one of your Mai Tais, though.
And see, the issue with this for me is that, like, the flavors besides that one flavor are good. And it's smooth, and it feels like it should be so delicious,
mm-hmm.
but it just catches me.
Right at the end.
Right at the end.
Yeah.
It's
like, ha-ha, teabag.
It's frustrating is what it is, because I really want to like it. And I'm sure eventually if I drink enough of it, I'm going to like it.
Yeah.
Especially if it's all in one sitting, it's going to get better.
It's usually the way your taste buds work. Okay, your top.
Oh, shoot. All right.
I forgot.
Forgot we're doing a podcast and we're supposed to be talking about stuff. So my tools, I got two of them. The first one I'll talk about is one that we've actually talked about on this show before, just getting it out of the way. That's Bullfish ID. And then their
I do remember talking about that.
Yeah, the other side of that was Dark Web ID, which we didn't talk about too much.
Hmm.
But they're two sides of a similar coin. Just to recap, Bullfish ID was a program that we currently use for a couple of our clients where we both can automate sending them training mm-hmm. when it comes to security vulnerabilities of all sorts, cyber or physical. And then it also has a really, really nifty functionality of being able to do simulations of phishing. And spearfishing and things like that. So when you set it up for a company, you put in different things like different vendors that they have and their CEO's information, their V-level executive information. And then you can just automate, okay, for this two-week span, separate it out each person has a different time so that it doesn't all come in and look suspicious. We're going to send this message. It's going to have a link in it. It's going to look pretty real, but not quite.
I see them all the time now. Yeah,
yep. And if they click on the link, it says, hey, this is how you messed up. These are the red flags. This is what you look out for. And that's it. And they're hopefully on the lookout for the actual ones in the future. And then we have a nice little spreadsheet of how people are doing, how people have improved. And, everyone likes that. Everyone likes those numbers. And I always feel like an asshole setting it up for folks.
Why? That's what you do. You're supposed to go catch that stuff. Yeah,
because it feels like a gotcha. But in reality, we like to refer to it more as the training tool than a slap on the wrist.
Gotcha.
Tool.
Because, yeah. Hey, you're fired. No, just kidding.
Yeah. But yeah, it's super fun to use, obviously.
And that's Dark ID or is that Bullfish? No,
that's Bullfish. Dark Web ID, we have and we've used, but we aren't currently using it right now. So I won't speak to it too much. But it's more along the lines of
I knew you were gonna do that.
Passing the drink around, cover up my I'm good.
No.
If you need a reason, I am driving home. So but the Dark Web ID is more of a tool to look through your usernames and passwords and see if there are any dark web breaches using those. And if it does, it comes back with where it was breached, who's using it, if you might be vulnerable. And it just is a good tool to see if your passwords are safe.
How does that make your job better? Like what you do for clients?
Oh, it makes my job a lot better because before Bullfish, for example, with one client, the one client that I actually got Bullfish to use it on initially to help them, between training, actual physical, my time going out there talking to them about this stuff, and the tickets that would come in, hey, this is suspicious, is this real? Or, hey, I clicked on a link, can we clean my computer?
Yeah, you're like, no.
Right, we had 3 or 4 breaches within 2 months.
Really?
Yeah, and so we looked into this Bullfish to see if we can help train them, help them look out for this. And immediate results. The training, great feedback on. And honestly, them knowing that there are tests coming in through their email
mm-hmm.
is probably better for them looking out for it than actually looking out for vulnerabilities. Because when you think about vulnerabilities, there's a little bit of that, it's not going to happen to me.
Right.
No one's going to target me. That's stupid. But when you know you're going to be trained, you're looking out for it because you want to pass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You want to be the shiny guy or gal who's like, nope, didn't happen to me.
Right.
I didn't get caught.
So there's a lot of value to it, both from our perspective as saving time and resources.
Yeah.
But also from a CEO's perspective, had a lot of conversations with the owner of that specific company about it. And just the weight off the shoulders of knowing there's a little bit more mm-hmm. protection there from, mm-hmm. because we talk about the biggest vulnerability that you can't protect against, or the hardest one to protect against, is people doing stupid stuff, right? You can't put a firewall on a person.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So
sometimes you wish you could.
Yeah. Yeah.
By firewall, you mean muzzle or just a bubble.
Right. Right. So just being able to efficiently and effectively train folks to look out for that stuff, it's very valuable.
Okay. Well, you guys need to go back to the episode where we talked about that. I don't remember what number it was, but we went extensively on bull fishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did I ever show you guys at least on the show, how to like taste whiskey?
I think we've got it down.
but there's drinking and tasting.
There's like a buddy of mine who actually
I know we did. We did a little bit with Ed's episode on controlled burn and how to taste it with that, but I don't think we've done it.
So you haven't like done the swish in here. Like you're supposed to like swish the whiskey
and coat it
and really like coat the whiskey. So I think we should try doing that.
No, I saw a little smirk. Fuck you.
Wait, do you want some Fireball?
Yeah, I'm gonna down this. I'll take some Fireball.
I was gonna say, do you even consider that whiskey?
Yeah, yeah. So wait.
I don't.
I thought you had to drive.
We'll hang out for a half hour. You're not going anywhere.
I know. Got the World Cup on.
Do I? Yeah. Here you go.
Don't waste it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna get the COVID now.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
There we go.
The whiskey kills.
Yeah, dude, 100%. That's why I'm like, I don't know that I've got it yet because my body's just like,
What'd you say? This was over 50 proof.
Or like
over
50%. Like 103 proof. Like, I think technically it's 102.8.
Yeah, I don't think COVID can live in that. You're safe. You're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Can COVID live in that?
I don't know. I'm talking
out. No, like realistically.
I don't know.
I don't really think.
I mean, that's.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking like what's like the alcohol level like on the wipes you use to disinfect stuff.
Super, I know. Yeah. Super, saying alcohol.
Super high.
Well, but I think though there's like a certain amount to where it's like it kills like.
Isn't it also like anything? A different type of alcohol? Like it's ethanol.
What that's all the year.
Well, it's still ethyl alcohol.
I also understand. I am completely speaking out of my ass. This is not my area of expertise.
It's the same alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the only difference is that one's basically really, really strong vodka.
Yeah.
Which is why most distilleries during like the height of COVID, they were making like sanitizer.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I do remember that. Sanitizer. Okay. All right. Yeah. We're
talking great, about. Great idea.
Oh, when they clean up.
That was, talk about capitalizing on your business model. That was brilliant ideas.
I don't even think that Fireball is whiskey.
I don't count it.
It's sugar. Well, sugar water.
You know what's in Fireball, right?
Sugar water.
It's definitely not in the same like.
Isn't it that stuff they put in lane. Like formaldehyde or something or whatever?
It's antifreeze.
Woo!
Oh, okay.
That's why it makes me feel so warm inside.
I don't know if they still make it with that, but it was
something like that.
It makes me feel so warm inside.
I know, it's so warm. It's so holiday and so festive.
No, I love Fireball. I love making mixed drinks with Fireball. Mm-hmm. It's not on the same shelf as my bourbon, right?
It's a different
drink, but it's on the same shelf as my rums and things like
that. Your mixers.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
100%.
Oh, shoot. What was that? We made one the other year. It was like a Fireball rum chata and something else. And it was like a... it was like a cinnamon toast crunch.
Oh, drink. Yeah.
It was like
with like apple juice,
maybe, or oof, something like that. It was a we played off the White Russian, right? With mm-hmm. and we're like, what if we do rum chata and Fireball instead? And it was so good.
Boom. All right. So what is your second?
All right.
Oh, no, we're gonna learn how to drink. Okay, tell me.
Yeah. So okay, here's what you do. When you smell it, you want to, of course, open your mouth, like the bottom of your mouth, to let the alcohol
go
through.
Yep.
So you actually smell besides the alcohol, right? So
mm-hmm.
It's already going to get trapped in your olfactory senses.
Okay, I'm doing this real close to the microphone.
And then, I feel like a sommelier.
And then what you do is you're going to want to, it's going to sound kind of weird over the mic, but you're going to want to literally like just really like
to put it all in there. And oh, you ASMR people. Oh, that sound drives me bananas.
About half of our audience just left. The other half is never going to leave again.
Mm-hmm. kind of just like smack your lips a little bit.
There we go. Yeah, got it. Ooh, I think it burnt some of my gums.
Mine's only 33%, so I'm fine.
Yeah.
I can drink a couple glasses of
it. What is that proof? What's 33 proof?
66.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow, that really...
But it really, really like gives you everything.
It gave me everything. Yeah. Gave me a kid. Gave me everything. Okay, you're number two.
Number two. Oh, man.
What do you use the most this year to take care of clients?
The most?
I know your answer. I know what it is.
What?
And this was going to be my number two. I'll think of another one real quick. Probably Sentinel One.
Yeah. I love Sentinel One because when you log in and if you have any like stuff, it stopped. I like the map. That's my favorite part. Like, it even tells you rooted in Russia, or like, you're in Ukraine, or you're in like the Middle East.
Oh, is this like brute force attempts on something?
It tracks everything. Like, here, particular thing on the memory is where it's rooted at. Here's how we stopped it, but also here's where it probably came from.
Yeah. I freaking love Sentinel One. When I joined the company, that was one of my biggest, like, mind blown things, because before that, my only real IT work had been, you know, military, and military has their own programs and everything like that. A lot of it's built in house. Some of it they contract out, but you know,
more than likely it's internal.
And most of that's because it's legacy stuff. So they have to make their own stuff because the new stuff just doesn't work.
Like, it's bought and paid for.
But Sentinel One, when I came out, it was my first look at that commercial grade anti-malware.
Oh, yeah. So what's the purpose of it? What's its purpose?
It stops ransomware.
Yes. Okay, in all the various forms.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's AI based, which is pretty cool.
So how does it work? You go into an organization and you bolt on everything through Sentinel One.
Go ahead.
No, go for it.
But this is your number one or number two.
I step on toes. Sorry.
Well, that's one of the cool things, that there's literally like a SOC, like a security, is it security operations?
Operations center.
There's a bunch of people like monitoring all the ransomware that's hitting everywhere, you know, using AI too. But like, they're on it. It's really cool.
Hmm.
And how we deploy it is it's not an overarching thing on the server or anything like that. It's each individual endpoint, servers included, but say your laptop, your desktop, and your tablet, right, all have Sentinel One on them, and it's just an agent that sits on there.
And just monitors and says, all right, if there's something going to happen.
And protects it, because it's not just a oh shit button when things bad happen. It also keeps those bad things from happening, again, with those AI learnings. And as soon as something bad does happen, which it then helps recover from, it learns and passes it out to all the other agents, which are now protected against that thing.
Can that be, so I'm thinking of just websites, right? Does that look as a Mac? Does it go on Mac? Is it more like it device-based, or your...
It's endpoint-based. It's an endpoint agent. And kind of tying to your first one too, that's what made me think of it for you as well, is the DVR rollback sort of thing. In the case of something bad happening with something that has a Sentinel agent on it, it has that same functionality where, oh no, it's been ransomware. Everything's locked down. Rewind, now it isn't. And you're fine.
And you're done.
And you're fine.
Oh my gosh. No way.
I think we talked about it before when we talked about Sentinel One. We had a client for a long time refused to get our security suite. They just wanted our help desk services and everything like that. And they got ransomware and lost like $50,000. And after that, to get their stuff back and to restore the backups and stuff, we were able to save some of their stuff, not all of it. So since then, it is absolutely a hard mandate for our clients to have it.
You have to have it.
Because they spent dollars a month for an extra thing that could have cost, could have saved them $50,000.
Oh my gosh. Is that what it is? $1 a month, like per?
It, I forget exactly how much it is, but it's an anti-malware, anti-ransomware sort of thing. It's, so it's per endpoint. It's,
okay.
It's just an extra tool. And since we're a, since we partner with them, it's cheap.
Are they a public company?
I'm not sure, actually.
I think,
Sentinel one?
I think a version of it's available, yeah. But it's mostly a commercial tool.
Okay. All right. I didn't know if they're...
Yeah, I think they got bought out by ConnectWise, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
ConnectWise is making huge bounds.
Oh, growth by acquisition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which actually very effectively. I know I've been talking a lot for your part two.
Adrian loves it so much. He's like, Ethan, talk about it. I can't speak. Love Sentinel One. I can't.
Because my number two is a ConnectWise tool as well that they acquisitioned.
But I'm phone go number two.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
So my number two. One of the things that I liked about ConnectWise is how much everything ties together well. If you have ConnectWise for one thing and you have ConnectWise for another, you know they play well together.
Yeah. It's
part of the benefit of their acquisitions. And they're just a good company. They haven't had very many issues, or mm-hmm. we haven't had very many issues with them either.
They're kind of like the Salesforce of IT-ish.
Ish, yeah. It's more of they just have a wide variety of tools.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that each individual one of those tools are going to be acceptable because it's vetted because it's through ConnectWise.
Right.
So if you're going to get one and you have more needs, might as well see if they can fill those needs as well.
Does ConnectWise only work? Is it only for the IT space, like MSPs? Primarily?
I believe primarily. All the obviously, we have a little bit of a skewed version of it or a skewed vision of it. Everything that I've seen from them has been mm-hmm. MSP-based. But again, they're selling to an MSP, so that's what I'm seeing.
Right, 100%. Like if you had like a podcast company.
It's almost all MSP.
Yeah.
It's specifically, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, they know, they have not, and I don't think they intend to cross the boundary in the supply chain to be end user based.
And honestly, gotcha. they don't need to.
You know, okay.
Their business model is very effective. They're doing very well with just how they are.
Well, I know like some CRMs and some kind of like end-to-end scheduling of like a service site and is only for the home services base. So ConnectWise is kind of the same thing, but for
IT. It's not like a QuickBooks sort of thing where they have a wide variety of what they do, but then they also have commercial and home, and it's just one and done.
Got it.
So the one that I want to talk about is ConnectWise Identify.
Oh.
Which is a newer one, relatively. On their checklist, I'm bringing it up for our 2022 recap because it's
applicable.
Yeah, we partnered with them for this in 2022. And it is a wonderful, wonderful program that allows you to go in and basically do super exhaustive vulnerability assessments with either an IT individual, an office manager, a CEO, if they know about their infrastructure well enough, and basically just through hundreds of questions, very exhaustive questions,
mm-hmm.
get a complete roadmap of where they are in their vulnerabilities and with their network.
So do you have to? So you then would come in as MSP. You then bolt on into ConnectWise ID.
Yep.
You would plug in. Here's access to my server. Here's my endpoint websites. Here's my laptop.
Less so that. So that what you're describing is more of a network assessment tool. And there's a benefit to ConnectWise Identify as opposed to that, because that is a very valuable tool, which we also use.
Mm-hmm.
We may talk about it in the future. We will talk about it.
We will.
The downside to those is that traditionally, because of the level of tools and partnerships and stuff, those are thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
For us, you know, without upselling it at all, those are just expensive tools. The benefit to this is that we can offer it for free and not lose anything.
Okay.
Really, because we only use it for folks who want to be our clients but don't know where they stand or maybe have questions about their own security vulnerabilities.
So does this mean like, let's say it's 100 questions, you actually ask the questions and then score them?
I either ask them, or if I have a good understanding, if I've already shaken their hand, look at their system, understand their system, I can fill them in myself, and then ask them the remaining questions.
And they're going to come out of there with, you got a 45 or an 80 or a 20 thing. You're like, okay, you're doing okay. Or holy smokes, you're about to get popped.
It's even better in that it's not just like a score, like, oh, you're doing poorly. Good luck to you. You know, it scores each thing individually. It's really, cause it comes out, has a lot of cool, clients.
A lot of cool stuff.
The one that I use is, it comes out with a graph, right? With one side, one corner is green, yellow in the middle, red at the other end.
Mm.
And every single point of security, every single type of security, everything like that plops down on this. And you can say, hey, in this area, you're obviously very good. In these five areas, you need some work. This is how we fix them.
Yep.
And so it's just a tool to very succinctly and comprehensively take a look at their entire IT and security structure and let them know how they are, how healthy they are, what they need to do.
Well, I mean, it's like a checkup. And I guess as an MSP, especially if someone's going to be like, hey, I don't know where I'm at. You just have the questions to ask.
Bro, I before we use this, I onboarded a few folks without it.
Mm-hmm.
And because I, you know, it is such a difference going into a place and maybe talking to a CEO of a company that doesn't have dedicated IT guy.
Yeah.
He just took care of it all himself or herself, you know. It's like, so how's your IT? I don't know.
Yeah.
I did all this. And then there's five things, you know, and 5,000 that are just ambiguous that they never even considered. So they never set up. And there's the question where, well, they could be good, but we'll never know. And we need to do a deeper dive. Yep. That costs thousands. Whereas with this, we can say, hey, do you know this? Nope. It goes on the list. Hey, do you know this? Yep, this.
Yep.
And then depending on what they do know, it filters it. And well, because you're good here, you have to be good in these other places. So they all turn green, right? It's that idea of, it does all the deeper level thinking and plotting for you. So you can ask all the questions that they do know.
Yeah.
And then.
Well, I got to think that that's going to give you a running start at the initial, like at a kickoff. Like you're going to be like, I already know where you stand. Great. I know what to get working on from a priority standpoint.
Yeah. Especially for compliancy based companies like CPA firms, HIPAA compliant dental offices, doctor's office, things like that. Having this as a tool, like, hey, you guys are compliant in 9 ways out of 10. Here's our roadmap. We're going to hit that first and then get you caught up on everything else. Just having that level of confidence in your roadmap going into it, where day one, you are making their
company. Hit the ground running.
Yeah. Day one, you're making their company better.
Which that makes sense that you guys have started these new tools in 2000 or you used them in 2022. Now, I think next time we get together and chat, we'll be looking forward the what to use, what to look at in 2023. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You better start doing your research.
Yeah, I know. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cheat a little bit.
Cool. Yeah.
No, I'm going to look at our own blogs.
Yeah.
To all of our listeners, we also put out blogs. At least 3 of them have been on tools that we use. I'm going to take a look at some of those and see which ones I like best.
Can you imagine them cruising through the site and be like, wow, that sounds really awesome. Oh, wait, that's us.
That's us. Wow, this guy must have been really smart.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was me.
That's never happened.
Oh, jeez.
Ever at all. All right, folks. Well, there you have it. You've got your top 2 from each of us. Well, not me, because, I mean, I'm not in the tool business. But
Tyler, anyways, your top 2.
I got my own tool. I'm top tool. Yeah, titanium tool. Yeah, thanks for hanging out, guys. Thanks for bringing this whiskey, dude. That was really good.
I mean,
I liked it. I know you didn't like it. Not a fan.
It was all right.
Yeah. Two out of 10 would not do.
For something with peat in it, it tasted pretty good.
It was a 50-50 ball. That was good. I liked it.
I really enjoyed how that was not even a compliment at all. Like it had a positive sound to it. But really, this amount to 2, I hate this whiskey.
Yeah. Don't ever bring this again.
But I don't hate it.
It's just not your jam.
It's just not my jam because it's not something that I'm like insulting this company because they can't make it good. Because I know that it is good.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that I know a lot of people
like donuts just don't like
certain
type of donuts.
Yeah, you don't eat the maple bacon donut because you're not a fan of maple and bacon together. That doesn't mean the maple bacon donut isn't good when it's made well.
That's a great point.
There you go.
Analogy taken. All right, gents. Well, we will see you back here next time when we go over 2023.
Perfect.
All right. See you.